United States of America. Americans, here's mail call. One big package of words and music and laughter delivered to you by the stars from whom you want to hear in answer to the request you send to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. With this mail call, we salute the sovereign state of North Carolina. And here to act as your master of ceremonies is Rocky Mount's favorite son. That's right, you're right, Jay Kaiser.
Good evening, folks. And greetings to all you tar heels hither and thither. And now, to start this mail call tribute to you with some beauteous bounce, here's four armfuls of King Sisters with a little plea to all you guys. Please don't say no, as if you would. Terrific, King Sisters. Well, fellas, no tribute to North Carolina would be complete without the presence of our next contributor to mail call, Mr. Jack Haley. Yes, sir, Jack was born in Flatbush Avenue, Brooklyn. And everybody in North Carolina is mighty grateful for it. And here he is, Jack Haley. Come on, Jack.
Kaiser, so I'm not from North Carolina. How do you like that guy? Get sore because I have blood in my veins instead of tobacco.
Oh, I was only kidding, Jack. I wouldn't run down Brooklyn.
You better not, Jay. Don't forget that Brooklyn's one of the United Nations. The only way I I do envy you guys from North Carolina. All those beautiful southern belles from the tobacco country. I've always wanted to kiss one.
You have?
Yeah, I'll bet they're so free and easy on the draw.
Yes, and so round, so firm, so fully packed. But no kidding, Jack. We sure raised some gals down in that tobacco country.
Yeah, and I can see myself down there with one of them right now, underneath that southern moon. Tenderly, I draw her close to me, look into her limpid, lovely eyes, and then whisper softly into her dainty ear.
Well, it's great country, all right, Jack.
But you know, Kay, I've heard the people down there are awfully easygoing. They love to take their time about things.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I've heard that when a fellow is courting a girl, he's not supposed to rush things.
Oh, that's silly, Jack. Why, I went with a girl down there. Shucks, I used to sit on the front porch with her in the dark every night in the week for 6 months, and then it happened.
What?
She let me tune her mandolin.
Why, you mad, hot-blooded, impetuous thing, you... What was the next step in this whirlwind courtship?
Well, one night I brought her a persimmon. Nasty, when she ate it, she puckered up. Yeah, and then I ate some and I puckered up. And do you know what we did?
Yeah, you whistled two choruses of Dinah.
Kidding.
I'm wrong, huh?
Sure. It was deep in the heart of Texas.
Oh. Look, Kay, I don't want to contribute to your delinquency, but don't you ever get a girl to put her head on your shoulder?
Oh, do they come off?
Kay, tell me something. When you were a boy, did you ever hear about the bird and the bee?
No, tell me about it. Tell me about it.
I don't think you're ready for it yet.
Now, wait a minute. If you're inferring that I don't know anything about love, you're very much mistaken.
I am, huh?
Why, sure. Many's the time I've been out under that Carolina moon with a lovely gal. Boy, was that fun. Nobody there but just me and her chaperone.
Chaperone? I don't believe I ever heard of one of those up north. What are they?
Well, Jack, a chaperone is a middle-aged woman who accompanies young girls on a date to see that the young man observes the rules of gentlemanness and behavior and strict decorum.
Oh, I see. Sort of an MP with a girdle. All the same, I sure would like to meet one of those lovely southern gals.
Well, that's certainly easy enough, Jack. There's one of them standing right over there. It's Georgia Gibbs.
Well, gosh, call her over.
Oh, Georgia, would you step over here a minute, honey?
Yes, Kay.
Mighty cute tonight, honey. Sugar pie.
Why are you just saying that, sweetie honey dumpling?
Oh, no, I ain't. You're a little molasses-covered bonbon.
Oh, well, thank you. You're just a honey bun and lump sugar candy.
Why don't you two get married and raise some little gumdrops?
Forgot, Georgia, I'd like you to meet...
Really, I'm sure enough glad to meet you all.
Gee, I never met any girls like you before, Miss Gibbs. What part of the South are you from?
Why, I'm from way down yonder in Flatbush Avenue, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn?
Sure enough, right across the street from Rappaport's Delicatessen on Flatbush Avenue.
Well, shut my mouth. I live on a plantation right next door.
To meet someone else from down home.
Yeah, sure enough is, honey lamb. Well, I have to be ambling around now, sugar pudding. But I'll see you all later.
Wait a second. Ain't you going to say goodbye to Kay Kaiser?
Not me. I don't want to have no truck with them Yankees.
No. Oh, So now here's Georgia Gibbs, who was strictly kidding with that southern accent. Georgia's here to sing as per your many requests. A very thought of you. Let's have it, Georgia.
I'd write you out a diploma if this was the College of Musical Knowledge.
I wouldn't mention that program if I were you, Kaiser.
Well, what's the matter with my program, Haley?
Why, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. What a racket. All you do is stand up there and pretend you know the answers to those questions.
Now, just a minute.
Oh, don't apologize, Professor. Professor. You got some nerve calling yourself a professor. I saw your name on the sign outside the theater. Professor K. Kaiser, LLD, PhD, and LS, MFD.
Now, look here, Jack.
Why, if you were a contestant on your own program, you couldn't answer one question, and you know it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got plenty of money to bet that I could.
Who's interested in money? How do you fix for cigarettes?
I'm sorry, pal. I haven't even a pack of cigarettes.
You poor civilian. Okay, we'll bet money. Now, I'll be you, the professor, and every time you get the right answer, I pay you $5. But every time you miss one, you pay me $5. Okay?
Oh, I should say so, sucker. Just where I make a fortune.
All right. Just stand over there, and I'll call you when I'm ready.
I'm ready now.
Okay, boy. Let her go.
$5.
Well, down your founds and found your downs. Because here's your little old professor to found your downs and down your frowns.
Yes, sir. Yet then.
Chillin'?
Yet then.
Gee, do I sound like that?
Well, what do you know? Here's our first contestant, and he doesn't look too bright either.
What's your name, son?
Oh, come on, come on. Now, get on with the quiz.
What's your name?
Kaiser.
What's your occupation, Mr. Kaiser?
I build ships.
I know. I heard your band play, and it sounds like it.
Well, come on, come on. Now, get on with the question.
Now, don't get fresh with the professor, son. And remember your agreement. Okay, here's question number one. Who was the first president of the United States? Too late. $5, please.
Now, wait a minute. You can't get away with that. You're supposed to run this thing honestly and give the contestants a chance to... What was that?
That's what you get for talking too much. You missed another question.
Come on, Jack. Now, give me a legitimate question and a chance to answer it.
Okay, okay. Now, the Leaning Tower of Pisa is 179 feet high, has walls 13 feet thick, and was built in the year 1174. How many bricks are there in it, and what was the architect's name?
There are 97,593 bricks in it, and the architect's name was Giovanni Arturo Scopanelli.
Gosh, that's right.
I know it's right.
Okay. Now we come to the second part of the question.
Part.
Yeah, when Stanley went looking for Livingston, he began his search in the African port of Nairobi, trekked across the veldt, and crossed the Ubangi River, where he shot an alligator. He then proceeded across the Congo, and a certain number of months later, he found Livingston.
Okay, what's the question?
How long was the alligator?
Feet, 7 3/4 inches.
Now for the third part of the question.
Wait a minute, Haley. How many parts are there to this question?
I'll tell you when you miss. Okay, now listen closely.
Now, wait a minute. This is getting ridiculous. What do I look like, an imbecile?
Student!
Now, look, Haley, these questions you're asking are silly. You know, I ask musical questions on my program, so give me some musical questions.
All right. Here's your first musical question. Are you ready?
Am I ready? Sure.
All right. Now, okay, the boys are going to play something from a popular operetta.
Operetta.
I want you to tell me the name of the operetta.
Okay.
Operetta.
Well, how do I know?
Oh, too bad. It was a drinking song from the student prince.
Look, you played one note. How could that be the drinking song?
They had a short beer. Well, that's $5 more. Do you want another musical question?
No, thanks. I don't think I can afford it.
Ah, come on. The next one is a cinch.
Well...
No kidding. You can't miss this one. It's a pipe.
Well... Okay.
All right. Now, the boys are going to play the theme song of a well-known band. All you have to do is identify the band. Take it, boys.
Guy Lombardo.
Sorry, pal. That was Louis Armstrong imitating Guy Lombardo. Kaiser, you don't know anything. If you ever get on Take It or Leave It, they'll make you give back the fountain pen. Why, I'll bet any guy in your band is smarter than you are.
Oh, yeah? What'll you bet?
You just pick anybody at all from the band, and I'll pay you $50 for every question he misses.
$50.
$50.
And I can pick anybody I want.
Anybody.
And if he misses, you give me $50.
Right.
Okay. Oh, Ish! Ish Gabebo!
$50 if he misses. Oh, this is fun.
Were you calling me Mr. Kaiser?
Oh.
This is the guy?
That's him.
Remember our agreement.
Oh, sure, sure. I made a promise, and I'll stick to it. I'll pay you 50 cents for every question he misses.
Oh, no, that's $50, Haley.
Oh, all right, if you want to be mercenary. Come here, son. Look, do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
What, Mr. Haley?
Is that your hair, or have your ears trapped a buffalo? Don't answer. I stand to lose $50.
Ah, come on, boys. Let's get on with the questions and just be yourself, Ish. Just be yourself.
Son, that's what I'm afraid of. Son, I want to have the boys play a very simple song. Just listen to it and tell me the name. All right, boys. Okay, son, what's the name?
Ish Gabebo.
No, not your name, the name of the song. Listen.
I'm dreaming of a wife.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Dardanella.
Well, that'll be 50 simoleons, please.
Come on, kid, try it again. Strain yourself.
I'm dreaming of a Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Same to you and a Happy New Year.
Son, I'm out $100 on you. I'm going to play another number for you. A very easy number. Now, you, a very easy number to name, and please, please use your brain.
My brain?
No, on second thought, you better just take a wild guess. Do it, boy.
Wait a minute.
Don't answer right away, kid. Let me rub the back of your neck first. Just you.
Oh, we thought that line was so beautiful, too.
I'll sing it for you.
By the beautiful. Would you mind repeating that?
Sure, kid.
By the beautiful. You had an Italian dinner, didn't you?
To do is fill in the words where the hmm is.
Hmm?
Oh, murder. Listen to me. The word has got something to do with swimming. Now, where do you go swimming?
The YWCA.
The YWCA?
Yeah, I lied about my age.
Just take it easy. I'll give you the last chance. Listen, and I'll sing this one to you. All you have to do is fill in the missing words. I'll be down to get you in a honey. I'll be down to get you in a honey.
I got it.
You have?
Yeah, oh, but one thing. What's a
You gotta change. Look, son, when you and your girl have a date on Saturday night, what do you whistle for?
Because I'm afraid in the dark.
I give up.
Well, that's another $50. Say, how much have we got now, Ish?
$200, boss.
$200?
Yeah.
$200-ish?
Yes.
Yes, dance, Ish!
That was pretty slick, Ish. Say, here's your $100, and good night.
Not so fast, boss. I have a message for the boys overseas. It's a serious message, too. In fact, so serious that I writ a poem about it.
Oh, well, read what you writ, Ish.
That I will.
Thanks.
There once was a soldier named Otto who made up this very fine motto. Take care of your stuff. Don't treat it rough. That motto proves Otto's not Plotto.
Say,
you know, Ish isn't kidding, men. Say, take your QM's advice and take care of your equipment and supplies. They say it'll help shorten the war. And now, here are those luscious King sisters back for an encore with a little ditty that bid fair to become one of the nation's top swing hits. The sensational, and her tears flowed like wine. Well, say, this is the old professor, man, winding up with a few special words for all the Tar Heels overseas. You know, from Monte Yo to Murphy, the old North State has contributed the cream of her manhood to the armed forces. And the cream has shown Hitler and Tojo that it always stays on top. Yes, sir, North Carolina breeds a brand of unbeatable fighting men. And, brother, if you think that's an overstatement, well, then just ask any man in uniform who's fought side by side with a kid from Raleigh or Rocky Mount, Asheville, or Albemarle. Like Texas is proud of her Texans and Georgia is proud of her peaches, we're kind of proud of our Tar Heels. So wherever they are when they hear this, let me say this is Kay Kaiser wishing every one of you North Carolina boys lots of luck and a quick trip home.
Well, that's it, fellas. The end of another mail call letter. Signatures include Kay Kaiser, Jack Haley, the King Sisters, Georgia Gibbs, Ishka Bibble, the Armed Forces Radio Service Orchestra, and yours truly, Don Wilson. This program is arranged with the cooperation of the Hollywood Victory Committee. Another mail call will be coming your way the next time you hear... This is the Armed Forces Radio Service. package of words and music and laughter delivered to you by the stars from whom you want to hear in answer to the request you send to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. With this mail call, we salute the courageous men of the British 1st Airborne Division. And here on hand to speed that salute is one of the most talented, beautiful, and delectable leading ladies of the stage and screen, Alabama's firebrand, Miss Tallulah Bankhead.
Thank you, Don Wilson. And, men, it's an honor to be here to pay tribute to the gallant men of the British 1st Airborne Division. First on the list of contributors to send this mail call on its way, to them in particular, and to all you GIs everywhere, is one of your favorite singing groups, the Pied Pipers, with a brand new ditty titled Tabby the Cat. Pied Pipers, the next paragraph in this mail call letter is a musical feat that runs the gamut of the keys from bottom C to high boot. It's the whirlwind Ethel Smith and her Hammond organ with her own arrangement of I've Got Rhythm. Smith. That was really ivory mastery. Our next mail call guest is a young comedy performer who made such an impact on Hollywood that we're still holding our heads and wondering what hit us. If you saw Up in Arms, you know I can only be referring to Danny Kaye.
Gee, thanks, Miss Bankhead.
Now, that's all right, Danny, but don't you have to call me Miss Bankhead. Call me Tallulah.
Oh, Tallulah. Oh, Tallulah, Lula, 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 Bankhead. Isn't that pretty?
It's an old Indian name.
Oh, reminds me of blue skies, golden sunshine, and fleecy white clouds. What does it mean in Indian?
Stormy weather.
Well, I guess it must have been those Californian Indians. But this is a thrill meeting you, Tallulah. You're really my idea of a fine actress.
Well, thanks.
You get so much out of every sentence, every word. Well, I even remember one time where all you said was, "Humph."
Humph?
Yeah. Believe me, it was no ordinary humph.
Well, what was so special about my humph?
Well, I don't know quite how to say it, but Tallulah, you've got oomph in your humph. And after I saw what that one little humph accomplished, I went around saying humph, 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 humph,
humph. Well, what happened?
Well, when Lassie came home, she came home to me.
Well, Danny, you didn't have to pick up anything from me. You don't have to imitate anybody. You can stand by yourself. I saw your performance in Up in Arms.
Oh, did you really see it?
Yeah, you can stand by yourself. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it the way it sounded. I really enjoyed Up in Arms.
Well, it was a pretty good picture considering that we had to shoot the whole thing at night, practically.
At night?
Well, yes, I can't leave the house during the day. I'd never forgive myself if I missed an episode of Life Can Be Beautiful.
Tell me you follow those corny series on the radio, Danny.
Tallulah, look. I don't drink, smoke, or gamble.
Uh-huh.
And a man has to let himself go sometimes. Besides, I really enjoy them. Well, I like them so much, I even buy the products. You know, I've got so much soap in my house that now every time it rains, I give the whole neighborhood a bubble bath.
Well, thanks for the tip. The next rainy day, we must wash out our unders together.
Gee, I'd give anything to be in one of those daytime serials, Tallulah.
Well, that's a pretty easy order for mail call to fill. We do almost anything around here. Don Wilson, can we fix this guy up with a daytime serial?
Why, Doris.
Oh.
You know, I've just been dying to sink my teeth into a commercial, and, Danny, you better stand by because you're a man of two parts in this here now clam bake, and Ethel Smith is going to musically set the scene. Tiny, the new dehydrated breakfast food, present Hilda Hotchkiss, Girl Woman. But first, a word about our product. Toasty Tinies are a new departure in breakfast foods. They're dehydrated to 1/1,000,000th their original size. Try it tomorrow morning. Drop one in a bowl of water and run for your life. But now, back to our story. The story that asks the dramatic question, can a girl who was born in a small mining town in Colorado? And here she is now. Hilda Hodgkin.
Oh, what to do, what to do. Pierre or Butch? Which one shall I marry? Shall I marry Pierre, handsome, wealthy, charming, and intelligent, whom I love madly? Or shall I marry Butch, ugly, poor, stupid, and jerky, whom I despise? Oh, the problems a girl has to face these days. Who shall I turn to with my problem? I have no mother. I have no father. And Mr. Anthony hates me.
Mon chéri, it is I, Pierre, your continental lover.
Where have you been?
Out loving the continent.
Tell me, darling, do you really love me?
Mon chéri, mon amour, mon petit, mon charmant, mon...
Oh, stop your moaning.
Do not treat me so. Tonight I want you alone. We will sit on the sofa. I will turn the lights low. Then I will take you in my arms and hold you tighter and tighter until you are helpless.
Then will you steal my kisses?
No, I'll steal your cigarettes. Oh, mon chéri.
Oh, darling, that must be Butch. Oh, you must hide quickly. Get behind that curtain.
Pierre hides from no man.
But, darling... darling, Butch is 6 feet 4, 250 pounds, and he'll kill you on sight. What do you say to that?
How do I look behind this curtain?
Butch, darling...
Shut up. Come over here. I love you, see? But that's the way we treat James and Brooklyn.
I'm a John fan.
What's them feet over there under that curtain?
But, darling, they're my feet under that curtain.
Oh. Oh, for a minute I thought there was someone in the room. Hey, wait a minute! Whose feet are those sticking out from under your dress?
Oh, darling, those are my feet, too.
What a thing. 4 feet and they're all mine.
Never mind the curtain. What do you want to do tonight, darling? Do you want to go to the movies?
Nah.
Do you want to go out dancing? Do you want to go out riding, darling?
No.
Well, what do you want to do, darling?
Let's go down and tell her to shoot some rats.
Oh, darling, you always want to shoot something.
Well, I'm a crack shot, see? Now watch, look. I'll hit that curtain right over there.
Ow! What happened? Did Butch push the curtain? Or did Pierre get it right in the ruffle? Tune in tomorrow for the next episode of Hilda Hotchkiss, Girl Idiot.
Gee, that was swell. I can hardly wait for the next one.
Danny, I've had enough.
I've had enough.
I'll sit this one out. That's my line, Dan.
I know. We did it in rehearsal. And we're going to stick to it.
I'll sit this one out, Kay.
Okay, I've had enough of this. I'll sit this one out, too.
Okay, if that's the way you feel about it, I'll carry on alone.
The makers of Fatso Reducing Pills present Minerva Mugwump. Girl old grandfather. But first, a word about our product, fatso-reducing pills. Ladies, are you troubled by unsightly bulges? Do you go in where you should come out, and do you come out?
Lumpy old things, aren't you?
But now, back to Minerva Mugwump. As you recall, our heroine was about to marry Sylvester Sloop, whose father went to jail on a false charge of robbery, only to have his sentence cut in half when the judge found out it was really murder. Meanwhile, old man Hawkins has been attempting to get poor widow Jones to invest her life savings in his mad scheme for reclaiming used milk bottle tops. But he has reckoned without Charles, old reliable Charles. He flew in from Pottstown to prevent Nick, old reliable Nick, from telling Carolyn, old reliable Carolyn, to stop milking the cow, which had grown too old to be reliable. But what has this to do with Minerva Mugwump? Or Sylvester Sloop? Or old man Hawkins? Or the milk bottles? Or Pottstown? Or fatso-reducing pills? These seemingly unrelated facts are all part of a gigantic plot to kidnap Boulder Dan. As our scene opens, Minerva is sitting in the parlor, knitting a staircase for her stepbrother. Let's listen.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I fear Father has been drinking. Father, have you been drinking?
It's a funny minute I've been drinking. All I have is two little rum candies. That's all. Two little rum candies.
Two little rum candies?
Well, you'd be surprised how powerful they are when you dissolve them in a quarter of scotch.
Papa, we have a sick baby in the next room. Listen.
Hey, Fido. Get him, Fido. Get him, Fido. I say, do you like these blue shorts I'm wearing? Shall I call the police now? Clancy, come in here. Sure, what the devil has been happening in the place?
I don't know what the devil is, and I'll be looking at my script here. I'll find out where it is.
Joe, this man won't pay his rent.
And I won't pay the rent to a drunken landlord.
And sure, who has the rent money?
Well, I haven't, Father. Well, I don't. Who's Carol's brother? Roof.
I don't know where I am.
Sure, who asked you? Well, that's all the way to talk to my wife. But Father! Oh, Father!
Get him out! What is the service?
Give me that. Okay, you. I'll hit him with the baby. With the baby? Not with the baby. Don't.
Now, as we take our leave of these simple, everyday people, we are reminded once again that life can be beautiful.
Danny Kay. I never thought you'd make it. And don't go away, Danny. We want some more of you later. Now, let's see. Who's next?
I am, Tallulah.
Ah, her lib, George Gibbs. You know, I like that name, Georgia. I'm from the South, too.
Oh, are you? Where about?
Alabama.
Well, sure enough.
Well, shut my mouth and hope to kiss a bug if I ain't.
Hey, you're from Alabama, all right.
Well, Georgia, there's no use for us talking here when you could be singing. How's about it?
Why, sure, Tallulah. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's George Gershwin's, but not me.
Georgia Gibbs. You know, Min, ever since the success of Danny Kaye's picture Up in Arms, we've had hundreds of requests for him to repeat his famous melody in 4F. Danny, what about it?
Well, Tallulah, I sure appreciate the fellows writing in for melody in 4F, but without television, the song sounds like Mrs. Kaye's little boy just blew his top. So instead, I'd like to run through an old favorite of mine called Minnie the Moochin.
Oh, that's swell, Danny. Can we join in on all the answers?
Oh, by all means. Everybody join in. You and Georgia, the band, the audience here, and particularly the audience overseas. Everybody, I will just conduct you, and as I beckon, you unleash your golden throat. All right, Major, shall we start the dirty work?
Is a story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a low-down hoochie-coocher. She was the roughest and the toughest frail, but Minnie had a heart as big as a well. Hidey, hidey, hidey.
Let me hear it. Go ahead.
And now, as we come to the close of this mail call, I'd like to ask you all to join with me in paying tribute to as gallant a crew of men as ever fought and bled and died. I refer to the men of the 1st British Airborne Division, who, attempting to outflank the Siegfried Line, battled so furiously for 8 full days at Arnhem, Holland. Of the 8,000 men flown in, only 2,000 were able to withdraw. Now, soldiers don't go in for flag waving of any sort, I know that. All the hue and cry and compliments of what a great job they've done are to them just so many empty words. Theirs is a life of action, fighting, and death. And here, high-sounding phrases just don't belong. But I do know this, and I'm sure you men would agree with me. In the years to come, when any man comes up and says to you, "I fought with the British Airborne Force at Arnhem," take off your hat to him, shake his hand, and buy him a drink. For this, his is the stuff of which Britain's greatness is made. Good night, and God bless you all.
That's it, fellows. The end of another mail call letter. Signatures include Tallulah Bankhead, Danny Kaye, Georgia Gibbs, Ethel Smith, the Pied Pipers, and yours truly, Don Wilson. This program was arranged with the cooperation of the Hollywood Victory Committee. Another mail call will be coming your way the next time you hear... This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.